Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The VC Show is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, but you must be 21 or older.
The VC Show, let's go. It's time to turn it out. The VC Show, let's go, let's go.
Welcome to the VC Show, presented by Caesars Sportsbook on Omaha Audio. I'm Vince Carter alongside Roz Godon Wood. Roz, what's up? The WNBA Finals was crazy. An unbelievable series. You did a great job covering, by the way. You know, I didn't see the last game and reading about it, and when things exploded, obviously I was watching football, and then all of a sudden caught the Raiders game and see the fans going crazy, the Raiders fans, and they started to mention. I was like, oh, so I go back and I watch a little bit of it, and wow. Yeah. What say you?
And, you know, Mark Davis was in the building. Get there to watch the first championship in Vegas, like of any major pro sports league, period. And that's his team, you know, owning it. Instead of being at the Raiders game, he was there to be with the ladies of
great
his
decision.
Las Vegas Aces. And I'm excited. You know, it's fun to see how fun that team is. We'll definitely talk about what I saw, you know, covering the WNBA playoffs along the way, and then also what we saw from this fantastic team, the players from Becky Hammon. We'll definitely tap into that topic because she absolutely delivered on every stage with all eyes on her. Congratulations to the Aces. I know we got a lot of NBA topics. I know you want to talk about Schroeder and the Lakers and all that, but this might sound boring, but can we talk about some legislation? Do you want to talk about
that? Oh, what you got? I'm listening.
Go ahead. So they're saying the one and done rule might end. Yeah. So the NBA might be lowering the minimum age requirement from like 19 to 18 as soon as 2024 season. And so what are your thoughts on, you know, getting rid of the one and done year and lowering the age into the NBA?
I don't know, Roz. I'm so up and down with this, and it's not taking money out of a young man's pocket. It's just you want to make sure these guys are successful and prepared. You know, that's kind of my concern more than anything. I want people to understand I'm talking about on the preparation side. And, you know, I always say, you know, when they were lowering it before, I said, I want the execs, legislation, or whoever are making these decisions or are part of these decisions to walk in some inside or walk in some into some of these training camps and watch and see how these guys, these young guys are faring in these training camps. And I can speak candidly on that because I've been in there where some of these young guys walk in and it's just like, ooh, not prepared. Shock. Yes, it's going to be different. I did 3 years in college and it was different coming in. It's just a different pace. The game is different. But like you're talking about now a guy leaving high school and going to the pros. It's been done before. Not saying that. But it's just preparation. It's just there are special players who could do that. We know some of the special players that were able to do that and are Hall of Famers. But, you know, there's been some guys who felt like they were ready. And sometimes we have our boys who put that battery in our back, gas us to make us feel like we're ready. And sometimes we're not. The reality. And that's all I just want us to understand when these guys are feeling like they need to jump into it. Yes, they have now doing this. If you leave early, you have something to fall back on, you know, the G League, and you know guys are going overseas for a year to, you know, like a lot of guys were doing. But I don't know, it's just I'm back and forth with it. I mean, it's kind of like if there's that special talent, there's that Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, Tracy McGrady, LeBron James, you know, listen to this, the list I'm talking about, Sean Kemp, you know, if it's those special type talents, yes. But who, you know, it's just, I don't know. What you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, with my proximity, I came up actually through the G League. I got my Gatorade at call up at the time. I think that, is it still called that? At the time it was, but I was with the Santa Cruz Warriors before I got the opportunity to be with the Golden State Warriors. So I worked my way up. Mm-hmm. And I think that since that time, like, the usefulness of the G League has become very valuable to these programs. And you've seen them be able to develop programs in a farming system kind of way, where like they can sustain success over the course of seasons. Not just we got a juggernaut team, but they have more and more coming up the pipeline. Okay. And you see that
for you.
A tool for success. I'll just say, like, I think I feel like the only objection to that, though, is that teams like the G League Ignite, right? They come understanding they're going to work with like high school age talent. They come with like therapists, guidance counselors, mentors, life coaches. Like, you know, that is made to insulate young people who happen to be great at basketball. Now, you know, there might be an influx of just young people thrown right into the NBA.
Only 17 of them, Roz, at that. Remember, it's only right. 17 of them. And that was going to be my question to you. Now, if all of these young guys are coming out, don't make it, don't get drafted, don't get called, you go to the G League. And now the G League is flooded with just what we're talking about. What you're mentioning is that these guys don't have that on my own reality, real world experience with a few more dollars in their pocket. Regardless, I mean, if you play in the G League or the NBA, you're going to have more money than you have leaving high school. So that's just my concern. And I think when I say all of this, that's where my concern comes. The overall picture, I want people to understand the overall picture than so the talent. Because, I mean, when you're at that age, you have to learn how to handle 82 games, grueling. Yeah. I mean, just think about it. Like, for us on the other side, it's still grueling for us when we don't play.
Right.
You know, we're not playing. We're still flying. And, you know, it's just like you have to get used to that. It's a different beast instead of playing from 35 games to 82. You know, let's say, you know, younger guys are probably going to play a lot of preseason games to get the experience. Plus, the guys are playing in the summer. So it's a lot on your body. Plus, understanding how to live this lifestyle and balancing the two. It's a beast.
Did you consider leaving earlier than you did? And if you had the chance, given the talent you had coming into college and you were, you know, already very talented, would you leave early if you had the chance, like leave at 18 from high school and go straight to the NBA?
So, Roz, I think back to that time, and it's a different time. We're talking about 95, like we're talking about mid-90s. As opposed to now, things are different. Kids coming out of high school are built different, look different, and everything. I didn't think I was there was rumors, and I was like, yeah, all right, cool, whatever. I didn't think I was that special of a talent to go right out of high school. I came out the same year as Kevin Garnett. My class was Steph Marbury, who was one and done, Sharif Abdul-Rahim, one and done, Paul Pierce, Chauncey Billups. So I came up with a laundry list of guys who I did, some of us did 3 years, but We know Kate, what KG did. We know what Steph Marbury did, and you know he had a pretty solid career. But I didn't. Antoine Jameson's another name to throw out there. I didn't feel like I was ready for that at that time, and it was more so what I was walking into, more so than money, and like, you know, because physically, I was like 190. You know, yeah, I could jump at the top of the, you know, hit the top of the backboard, jump by the gym, all that, but he's grown men here. If somebody was 190, he probably was a point guard, maybe a, you know, shooting guard. And I was just a skinny kid that, yes, I could play basketball and everything. And I was top five, but it was thrown around. But I just didn't think, you know, I didn't know. I mean, it's just the young guys now, they walk around with a different confidence and they feel like they're capable. I just didn't think so.
Yeah, there might be a generational difference in like mindset, and also I think
an opportunity,
feeling of an opportunity, and the feeling of like control over your story again because of like advances in technology, like social media, and having a platform at an earlier age, and you know being able to be a business and a brand. By the time you put these, like you could be 18 today, pulling up to a workout, and like you a full fledged business, you a top five prospect. You got
I'll say this too: the access of, you know, outside of all of that, the access that these young guys have of working with professional trainers. And I mean, pros, the trainers that train pros or play with the pro, you know, work with the pros, these guys can pull up to those now. And you don't have to be a former NBA player's son to get into these workouts now. You can see, you know, it's just because of social media, you can connect with such. Now you can be cool with James Harden. James Harden be like, yo, come on, pull up with me. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that way. Now I was fortunate enough, you know, shout out to Nick Anderson and Dennis Scott. The Magic back then, I was cool with Nick Anderson, and they would come see me play in high school. And I got the opportunity to play pickup ball with Penny, Shaq, Nick, and you know, I'm talking about like if you weren't a Magic fan, like Latyria Green and, you know, all of these guys at that time, like I'm throwing Sidney Green, like names, you're like, who? Yeah. But I got a chance to play with those guys. So I was fortunate enough to get a couple, you know, opportunities and see what the league was like. And I was like, bro, you know, this game is faster. It's wide open. So it fit how I played, but I just, man, Penny, I was talking about Penny in his prime. I got, man, runs. What I'm talking about, like, bro, it's crazy.
How did it go in those runs? Did you dunk on anybody in those runs?
I mean, I had fun. I did my thing. And like I said, the game was, it wasn't compact. Like high school, you can sit in the paint. You know, if your team's not good, you sit in the paint, you go to zone. NBA was wide open and faster. So I'm like, man, wait, I could just run and, it's wide open and just throw it up there. Like it was just a different game for me, but it was cool. The physicality, it was different. The way the game was played and officiated was different then. Like you go in there, you get hurt. And it was the way it was. And pickup games were kind of like that. So I knew my lane, if you would, at that time.
You know, but now if you were 18 now, like there would be a scout. There would be scouts from a number of teams that would have to help make like really big jumps or guesses, or I guess like have a hypothesis on your talent and true skill level, even if you was that 190-pound kid.
And but that's you're accessible.
But they're not just scouting you. Like they're not going to pick up 190-pound Vince Carter and say, okay, he's the face of the franchise. Like the scout is different because they're making decisions about you earlier in the process. So there's a lot more intangibles. Like you, who knows what you're, how tall you're really going to be, or, you know, how smart of a player you're really going to be, but more they can kind of see, he's got the fit of a 3-and-D, or his athleticism is above average, or he comes from this, you know, a group of teams that, you know, I don't know, or something that seems to do well. But I feel like, you know, we're just going to see scouts in the gym going harder, more analytics earlier at younger ages. And the bets are going to maybe, I don't know if they'll be bigger, but maybe you'll take more. I don't know what the right answer is, but I think that you don't necessarily need to be, they won't be looking for, actually, I want to ask you, will it be looking for superstars at younger ages, or is it more about looking for potential?
potential. I think I don't know. Will you find a superstar at that moment? Maybe so. Like I said, there's going to be that diamond in the rough. Absolutely. At some point, we're going to see, you know, that diamond in the rough. And you're like, yo, he is made to be a star because they're built like that, because they still have to be, you know, your body has to be able to handle this, you know, this grind at the same time at that age. And I don't think, you know, I wasn't built like LeBron coming out of high school, see how much bigger he is now. But I'll say this:
I do want to tell you, a high flying 190 pound senior in high school is still pretty impressive, my friend.
No. That, you know, for real. But like I said,
LeBron. But 5'8" high school students.
that's true. But that's what I'm saying. But like that's 190 pound whatever kid back then. Now, it's a different story. It's a different look.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
It's a different look. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about like then when Charles Oakley is taking you out the air, you know, when the Bruce brothers in Indiana with the Pacers, you know how the Knicks played and all that. Cause you know, I ended up in the East. So I can't imagine 95 playing for Toronto, playing in the East at that time, taking that beat and trying to post some one of these guys up. Man. Like when I got in the NBA, you know, like Scottie Pippen, you know, like Scottie Pippen was fully developed. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm still trying to get, you know what I'm saying? Trying to get a little muscle, you know, whatnot. So it's just different, man.
All right.
Like these kids are like different.
Last one on this one, like another thought I had about it was, you know, it might be nice though for college programs to get the continuity that they desire, and that, you know, the players that, you know, decide that they are ready to play right away, instead of doing 1 year and then they're gone, and then programs are constantly in this short-term rebuild after a top player leaves. Instead, you get the players who might stay for 3 years or four. What do you think?
I just think now it's the mentality is different. So when guys feel like they have that opportunity to leave, they're going to leave. And in that mentality was there a little bit back then, few players. Like Antoine Jameson, for example, in college, like he was National Player of the Year. His sophomore year, he was killing the game, so that people felt like he could leave then. He felt like he needed another year. Like when you even get that buzz, guess what people are doing now? Out of there.
Yeah. But my question is, so if they go, can they come back if it doesn't work out? Like, I don't know.
That's my question. Like
this is not something that has happened.
Right.
It's a conversation that it will. So we don't actually know what the actual like logistics of the rule will be should it come out.
Should it be that way? I don't know, because Roz, if you say that, like guys can go that can test the waters now, and to a certain point you have to come back. But if they allow these kids to just everybody's going to leave, and then if it doesn't work out, everybody's going to come back. So guess what that does to recruiting? Like how do you recruit? Like how do you recruit if you lose a superstar player? Like let's just say Trae Young, you know, as your point guard, he's like, oh well, and maybe Trae's not, because you knew once he was destined to go. But like a guy that was pretty good, but you're not sure. You're now trying to recruit behind him. How does that work? You know. Now kids sees this guy come back. Well, guess what? He's going to decommit and he's going to go somewhere else where he has another opportunity. So I think it's going to mess up a lot of things.
Yeah.
They're going to have to figure this out.
What about messing up the lives of a child? You know,
that's like, what I'm saying. So they're going to have to get this right. That's all I'm saying.
Stranded. You know, so like the programs have college programs have a lot at stake. Then the NBA has a lot at stake. But the individual players, you know,
I got one more thing.
The people. Go ahead. Do your thing.
No, I just want to say one more thing to that. As I'm thinking about it, I don't want to forget this. And it's important. I think if the NBA is going to allow this or do this or whatever, they need to make sure what you just say. They need to protect these young kids. So there's a lot of kids who are going to try to fulfill that dream out of high school. If it doesn't happen and they cannot go back to college or go to college, you need to have more G League teams. You need to have more opportunity where you're going to now house more young players like the Ignite to make sure you nurture these kids to prepare them for, you know, NBA life.
I mean, I guess there's a lot to consider there, and greater minds than ours are coming together. But the general, I understand the bigger thought you have around what you're trying to say with more G League.
Protecting the players more so than, yeah.
More support. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's necessarily the vehicle that would be taken, but I do know the NBA has worked to create, you know, their own version of alternative pathways for young athletes with the Ignite, and you've got the Overtime Elite as well.
Mm-hmm. I think of a couple guys, like it's a name that you probably don't even recall, Corleone Young. Corleone Young was in my draft coming out of high school. He didn't get drafted. Rashard Lewis got drafted out of high school. Corleone didn't, and it kind of just faded away. And he was a great talent out of high school. So, you know, it's just like stuff like that. Like, you just don't want this talent to fade away because they don't know what to do next. You know, that's my concern.
All right. Well, we shall see what the future holds for the youth and the NBA. Mwah-ah. All right, so moving along, I know we've talked before on the show, and it's been kind of fun this summer to watch the FIBA tournament. All we talked about was Giannis, Luka, Jokic, Gobert, and none of them win it. So Spain won FIBA EuroBasket. The Hernan Gomez brothers combined for 41 points. Willie got the tournament MVP. They beat France, and they held Rudy Gobert to just 6 points on two shots, and Evan Fournier had 23 points for France. So what do you think of Spain winning this and the fact that Giannis, Luka, Jokic, their teams didn't?
The Gasol brothers weren't playing, right?
No, Mark and Pau retired.
That's my point. That's what I'm saying. Like,
also didn't have Ricky Rubio.
You see what I'm saying? Like, Spain has always just had talent, and their teams like has always been tough to deal with, whether you see them in the name or their marquee names in the NBA or not. They've always been a tough out. And I'm going to tell you something. I think of those brothers, I had to guard those. Willie is strong, bro. You know, he's a strong young man. And I remember guarding him sometimes. I was like, yo, young fella, like, what in the world? Like, you're a brick wall. And, you know, it's just great to see. You can see the excitement. It was cool to see his brother just sit there and sobbing in excitement. Aww. That's it doesn't get any better than that. And, you know, I know Mark Gasol very well, and I know he's a proud retired player somewhere right now, just because he loves his team.
Yeah, no, I think you're completely right. Like, they just, you know, it was actually supposed to be a quote unquote rebuilding year, and like they still did it. They still won, and I think they've won now four EuroBasket championships out of the last six that they've tried for, and so they've just continued to bring it. Loved your comments about brothers. So, okay, there's something special about brothers or sisters playing ball. Who's your favorite brother duo? Or who do you think is the most talented brother duo in the NBA, past or present?
Well, I'm going to say this is going to throw people off, but I'm going to say that's tough. But I actually played with both Lopez brothers.
Hey.
And when I tell you they are characters, like, I love those guys, man. Let me tell you something. You know, man, their love for Disney and comic books is next level. And I remember I had Brooke as a rookie with the Nets, and I was with Robin in Phoenix. But Brooke always talked about comic books, and every time we would come to Orlando, I'd bring him over to the house, and he's like, "Yo, I'm gonna build a house in right beside Disney." All right, Brooke, whatever. Brooke built the house right beside Disney. And when you walk into his house, I don't want to talk about the man's house. You walk into his house, you feel like you just walked in a portion of Disney section.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Their love for comic books and Disney is next level. And they were two of my favorite guys. You know, Robin, we all know Robin can be what he is. But let me tell you something, man. Love the guy to death. You know, playing against them once I left Phoenix, just great battles and just having conversations. That's just one. I mean, all of the brothers that let me think. So I played against Horace and Harvey Grant.
I'm gonna hop in on the Lopez brothers real quick before you move on to other brothers.
Okay.
That was a good pick. That's a very talented pick too. Like, that legitimately holds up on the court, and also extra points because they're twins. So you didn't even just say brothers, you got a twins pick in there, so I'm gonna give you double points. Also, shout out to I went to Stanford.
I knew you were gonna say it. Yeah, Jared.
I went to school with Brooke and Robin, and actually, I remember at college, and they are just fantastic, fun, smart, different kind of guys. Like,
yes, they are.
College, they went missing. They were our star to play. Like, they were the stars of Stanford. And they went missing. I was on the women's basketball team, so I knew, I was privy to what was going on with the men's basketball team. So, like, it was like, yo, where are the Lopez twins? And nobody could find them. And it was like a quiet big deal. Turns out they just skipped practice. They just left and they went to Disney World.
I knew it.
And drove from Stanford University to Disney World. And didn't tell anyone, missed practice, and, like, didn't come back until they were ready. So they are just so, like, they march to the beat of their own drum. And every time I speak to them, I have, like, the best convo. And you always smile with them because they're all just, like, they're huge, just happy energy.
Great personalities. When you said Stanford, I was talking about the Collins twins, Jaren and Jason. I played with Jason Collins. You know, so I played against a lot of brothers. I played against Dominique and Gerald Wilkins. I played against Horace and Harvey Grant.
Curry?
Of course. I played against the whole Curry family and the dad.
Oh, extra points, extra points.
Dell was my teammate.
I know.
So
I know.
So it's just, it's crazy. Game. I played against Harvey. It's a Harvey Grant's kids, all the Grant kids. So I played against Horace, Harvey, and the kids.
Oh wow! Okay.
Now I think about it.
And what about
all three of them?
What about the Holiday Boys?
I played against all three of the Holiday Boys.
All three?
Yes, when he was the youngest one with the point guard and he was with the Pacers when I was with the Hawks.
Aaron, I want to say, yeah.
I covered your sister,
Lauren Holiday, when she played at UCLA, so I'm going to take a point for
that.
Shout out to the Holiday family. They all in hoops. Okay.
Darrell Wright and his younger brother.
Yeah, the Wright brother. But who else am I missing right now?
I'm trying to think.
You got the Thompsons, but that's not a brother duo. Oh, no. Mikey played a little. He had a cup of tea in the NBA. Thompson?
What about Blake Griffin's brother?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I covered him in the G League.
Yeah, I remember that.
Blake and Taylor Griffin.
Yeah, Taylor. I'm trying to think. You said father-son.
There's a lot of father-sons. We're talking brothers.
Patrick Ewing. Yeah, I'm talking about Patrick Ewing. You say Patrick Ewing, I played against him and his son.
Oh, you know who else? Well, there's a lot of father-son. I want to keep it to
son. Oh, and Gerald Wilkins' son. Okay, I'm using my brother. I'm going all crazy.
Do father-son, right? But I think to, like,
for me,
a family, let's say that you are a mom and a dad. And not only were you so blessed that your family had one NBA son, but gosh, imagine that in your same family, two came, or three. That much talent, that's hard to
imagine
do.
Three, the Holiday Brothers, like, yeah, that's so crazy. Sick, man. Hey, because I think back for me, I mean, of course there was Horace and Harvey, but I know what that feeling was for me playing with my cousin. Like, playing with T-Mac, getting drafted to Toronto, and Mac and I playing together, for a year. So that it was like, you know.
Now that might be the most talented family connection. Okay.
Yeah.
Mac and VC Vince Carter, y'all might have the most talented family connection. Can we give it? Can we say anyone has a more talented family connection? Hey,
I like to put us against anybody. You know.
Okay. Let us know in the comments section. Is anybody?
Yeah.
Family wise, more talent than the T-Mac and Vince Carter.
I will bow down if you can think of others, but like, I mean, that was as far as family. Like, I'm sure we're forgetting other, you know, if you're talking about cousins, other cousins that might possibly have played, but I played against the Peyton family.
Okay.
Ross, I've been around for a minute.
Honestly, and we're doing this off the top of our head. Like, we could have just done an episode on, like, all right, let's prepare and talk about, like, your favorite, with each, like, genealogy of, like, NBA families and trees. That could be
John
could be
Stockton fun. And his son.
Damn.
David, I played with David briefly in Sacramento.
Shoot, you could have been around long enough to see LeBron and Bronny.
That's tough.
Oh man. So you definitely think LeBron will be around for when Bronny gets 100%, like, he'll be there.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
ooh, I just thought about it. What about this? Ross, here you go. Reggie Miller and Cheryl Miller.
but you couldn't have played against. Oh, you're saying
no. You talk family. You talking about Fat Tyler family?
Quiet as kept.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I just said. That's why I threw that down. I bow down.
Arguments of GOAT of the game.
And I bow down to Cheryl Miller, and she would tell you how good she was.
Reggie is in the convo of maybe second greatest shooter, top three greatest shooters of all time. I don't know, depending if you're a Knicks fan or not. I don't know. But you could be. You're a Knicks fan. That could slide.
I played against Anthony Mason's son briefly.
Wait, in the comment section, I need to know. So,
yeah.
T-Mac,
so many, bro.
And Vince Carter, that family of talent. Would you take them, or would you take Cheryl and Reggie Miller for that family combo of talent? Just which one is that?
Well, I already know. You already know a combo that's going to jump in there. Everybody's going to pick Steph and Dell and Seth
has called out a very meaningful.
He got game, man.
Seth and I came up through the G League Santa Cruz Warriors. By the way, let me let you know who I came. I came up in this league with Seth Curry, Mikey Thompson, Taylor Griffin. We had all of the brothers, you know, the superstar brothers were doing their thing. They were coming up through the G League, and I was their little, you know, reporter analyst. So I'm so proud, especially of Seth Curry, just like seeing him build out a role for himself in the NBA.
Yeah.
His own like personality, separate of dad, separate of bro. Like he really did that.
And understanding how important he is, like that was a big deal for Philly losing him to Brooklyn. Yes. He is like a legitimate important piece. That's what's up, man. Just sticking to it, not really being discouraged and like, yo, man, I'm nice too, because he killed us. He killed us in college. Rivers, the Rivers family, Doc Rivers, whole. I'm talking about. No, I'm saying. I'm just saying. I played against a couple. Well, of course, a few of them. Doc Rivers and Austin, and then there's Jeremiah, the other son, who he was playing a little bit. So there's a few of them, but I'm thinking about Doc and Austin.
Okay, how about so Dell and Steph versus Doc and Austin, who you taking?
Stop it. No. We're not doing this.
They family relatives. That's family. That's all family right there.
Yeah. No, you're right. Hey, that's a heck of a 2-on-2, though. Like, they start talking junk.
That's a heck of a post-Thanksgiving dinner. Like, y'all just talking trash. Let's take it outside.
Hey, what? Take it? Y'all were what? Oh, I can see Doc like, bro. Well, Doc just had the hip surgery, but Doc's aggressive, man. Doc as a player was aggressive. And then Dell is just one of those guys, like, he knows how to offset aggressiveness by just a ball faking separation. Like, it's just, that's not fair, because you don't have to worry about those guys beating you off the dribble, because they could just shoot in your face. Period. Okay.
So
that's the problem.
You're taking the
curve. Come on. Okay.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app ever, and honestly, the only one you need. It's not just about the big bonuses and boosts and promos that you get. It's the fact that every time you bet, whether you win or lose, you're earning towards the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. That's because when you download the Caesars Sportsbook app, you become a Caesars Rewards member, and that means perks. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
I want to make sure I tap in with you on the Lakers, because, you know, the Lakers never stop being newsworthy-ish, I guess. So they have Dennis Schroeder's back. And what does that mean to you? And I saw that he said he's had a great conversation with LeBron, and he's calling the return unfinished business. So, what do you think?
So, I'm happy for him. I'm glad, you know, because he earned it. He's played his way back into the league. I think he deserves to be in the league, for one. But my confusion is, and it's just obviously hearsay and rumors, but they're looking to get like Mike Conley. Also, it's like what where does he fall into the, you know, the Utah players, and Mike Conley is one of them. So I'm saying, like, okay, Mike Conley, you have, Schroeder now. You have Russ, you have all of these guys. You know the fourth guy. Okay, that's what I'm saying. So I'm just curious to where, like, how this all works together. I mean, even if you move Russ, they were talking about possibly moving Russ, bringing in, you know, Clarkson and maybe Conley. Well, you still have three point guards, very good point guards, you know. Come on, Ross, what you got? Because I'm not sure.
Oh, now you got
I need help. Yeah, I need some help here. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. They have a talent, and it's like, do you sign these guys to eventually move them for, you know, to strengthen your, yeah, I just don't know.
Is there a chance that they're, like, trying to
actually, you probably can't move. Probably can't move those guys because you just signed them, but.
You get added depth, which you might need in a series, in a season with older players. You get depth, you know, saving bodies, perhaps. He has experience of, like, the pressure of being with the Lakers, and I think that actually is important. You know, obviously he hustles hard. He brings speed. I can't say I fully can predict anything coming out of LA. The only thing I can predict is, you know, LeBron is going to be box office and, you know, hopefully healthy through a full season, but it's harder and harder as he gets older. One storyline that I
Anthony Davis. You got to say it.
Davis. I mean, he's
got to be available. He is huge to this puzzle, yeah, for the Lakers, because, you know, LeBron can be box office if Anthony Davis is, if you would, carrying the load, because he doesn't have to do it.
I agree. And I think if Anthony Davis is available and playing at a high level, I mean, age-wise, he's still prime years. Like, I think
LeBron doesn't feel like he has to do it all and right, exert all the time. Like, when you need a bucket, right, when you need him to be LeBron, but he shouldn't have to be that every night for 82 games when you have an Anthony Davis with the potential.
Right. And for Schroeder, like, I know there's been a lot of commentary on, you know, he turned down, you know, the $80 million contract over 4 years and came back for about $2 million or something. If you was his OG on the team, like, what would you tell him about just, you know, handling that
aspect? I think he's been humbled. I think he's been humbled now, you know, and I think he's hungry. I think he's going to go out there and, you know, hearing unfinished business. I think he, like you said, he understands the dynamic of being a Laker. He's been in playoff games. He understands what it takes and the level of focus. And I think guys who should be in the league, I'm going to use Carmelo, for example, who should be elite and missed a year, had to sit out. Yeah, they're going to respond. You know, these guys are taking advantage of that opportunity. So I think he'll be fine. I mean, he's an OG himself. I mean, there's a bunch of veterans here who he's just going to fall in line with what's needed for him. So yeah, I think he'll be fine.
And you know what the X factor is this season for the Lakers? I can tell you. You want me to tell you the X factor for the Lakers? Bald LeBron. You back, baby. Vince, you back. Now, LeBron James was trending on Twitter. Well, not LeBron James. Bald Bron. The bald LeBron. All variations of LeBron James playing around with a filter. At first, I thought he let it go. And I was like, yo, he's about to kill everybody because he's not playing anymore. Like, I saw tweets that were like,
wait, he's not playing what anymore? He's not playing with his hairline? What is he not playing anymore? I don't know. I'm
just saying, like, when if LeBron was to let it go and come to the NBA, I would be like, yo, LeBron, he's let go.
Watch this.
Of
he's going to do it.
He's outside his ego.
He's going to do it when Bronny comes. Watch. You heard it here. When Bronny comes, he's going to let it go. Watch.
So anyway, and I didn't think he looked bad either. Like, it was a filter. You know, filters can make you bald or whatever.
Right.
Vince,
this,
like,
is not a filter.
How is bald going for you?
It's been it's end all be all for me. I've been rocking this since my sophomore year of high school.
Was it because you were going bald? Like, did you have, like, a hereditary thing?
I found that yes and no, but my after I had the box my freshman year, and I just, like, nah, bro, cut this off, and that was it. And I just rocked the baldy from there. I've been bald, like, every now and then. It's just something that I was doing.
Just curious, because I really can only remember you being bald. What age did you, like, actually go bald? Or were you shaving it before you were bald and you were just stylistically rocking it?
I was stylistically rocking it in my since my sophomore year, but I think I felt like I was thinning out even my junior year in college. I was like, bro, what's going on? The Olympics, when I had the fro, that's why the fro didn't really go any further, because if it got any bigger, you would really see, you know, the definition what's going on inside of there. So I was like, we're going to stop here. And that was it. So, you know, if I look down, you can see some thinning down there, but I always wore the bald head. So I honestly don't know exactly when, but if I let it grow out, we don't all grow back anymore. That's just what
Is it like, are guys cracking jokes in the locker room around bald heads, or does it not matter? I'm just surprised. Why aren't we rocking bald heads earlier as a style like you did at a younger age?
That's just, you know, everybody's into their ways. You know, everybody into the, you know, I was not.
You was okay.
Let me say this. I ain't have a bad grade. You know, I know some people in the comments gonna be like, oh, he had that bad grade. Nah, chill. Nah, I ain't had that.
So you
that
had,
I did not have.
So you had beautiful hair that you just chose.
I had
to go
my with. Hair was solid. It's just I chose, you know, to go to the zero. It was easier.
No, it really works for you, man. It's iconic, and I'm not sure everybody.
Yeah, because you can't see me with, man. If I came in here with a Caesar loafe, you'd be like, bro.
You wouldn't be the first to add hair plugs. You should try it.
Oh no, I'm good. I'm happy where I am.
right. Do you have a message you want to send to all your bald brothers out there? Anything you want to say to them in solidarity?
Well, I say, hey, you know what it is, but I want to say it to the ones who just need to come home. Come on, man. Like, and here's the thing. So I have a friend, and if when he hears this, because I know he listens to us, when he hears this, he's gonna laugh. And I say this to him, and I'm not gonna say his name, but you know, he was once an artist, so all my friends know who it is now. He is thinning, and I say, okay, if you don't want to, Roz, you're laughing. Stop. If you don't want to go straight bald, and I say this to everybody, if you don't want to go straight from where you are to bald, progressively lower the cut your hair lower, to allow people to get used to the different phases, and then boom, hit it. Ray Allen did it.
Right.
Ray Allen did it. Remember, Ray.
You didn't have to call Ray Allen out like that. You should have let him.
No, it's not calling him. It's an example. I love it, man. Ray's my guy, but he did that. He just progressively, and then Ray probably sitting at home coaching his high school team, like what?
Being bald is fine. The only thing that sometimes I'm like, oh, that stinks. Well, no, not that it stinks. I don't even want to say it because somebody might be dealing with that. I don't even want to say it. Like, what if your head is a little fat and you got the like, or like the line?
Yeah, but, so that's what my boy is. That's why he's afraid to do it. You're like, bro, I got these, you know, this extra, you know, I got it.
I have it. You have a small head too. Like, if I were to do it, I have a very bulbous head. And so, like, just shape wise, like, you got to get, and most people don't even know what the shape of their head really is unless they go bald. But anyway,
you got to progressively work your way down to start learning, you know, and seeing what's good, you know, before you actually go all the way. You know what I mean?
Hey, look.
Man, use that filter and see what you look like.
Not me and the makeup brush. This was a testimony because somebody might be listening today who needed to hear this word. Like, you were on the edge. You weren't sure if it was your time.
Come on home.
Vince Carter himself told you to come on home.
Come on home. Hey, it's cheaper. Instead of having you sitting at the barber telling, hey, man, can you even this out a little more? Because your barber's probably sitting there like, bro, just let me just cut it all off.
Yeah, let it go. Unless they do the spray paint thing. We're not going to say names of who's.
Ooh,
anyway.
I'm not. That's... I'm not.
Okay. Hey, spray painted on a banner is the name of the Las Vegas Aces.
Who well brought... done, because I didn't know what you were about to say right there. I was like, whoa.
Come on, transition game.
Yeah, I got it. I'm with you now. Man, that was solid, because I really thought you were about to call somebody out.
Yeah, he was like, how are we getting out of this bald conversation? And right. Okay, that's why I'm here. So, no, I wanted to make sure that we close it out with the best for last. We're going to talk about the Las Vegas Aces. Winning the WNBA championship, the first one of their franchise history, the first major pro sports league championship to Las Vegas. And the finals MVP was Chelsea Gray with the crazy efficiency with these hard contested step back jumpers. And of course, the MVP and defensive player of the year in Asia Wilson, and then Kelsey Plum, first team All-NBA All-Star. You got the most improved player in Jackie Young and the coach of the year in Becky Hammon. My goodness, from top to bottom, it was an organizational success. Vince, of all the great things, you know, what was the most exciting part to you of watching this Aces run?
I think right now is hearing you run down the accolades of all of the players on one team. And why I say that is because it all circles back to one person. Becky Hammon.
Oh, I was like, yeah.
No, I'm saying because she put these guys, this team, she's put, no, you're so, yeah, no, ball, you know, but no, it all, it puts, it, and I say it circles back to her because that's just her genius and her ability to coach and empowering her women to do great things. And like you said, had the best player, had the coach of the year, had the defensive player of the year, had all-stars, you know, first team this. First, I mean, it's just all from one team. That's just Becky Hammon has proven that she can coach whoever.
Is the NBA ready? Like, would you like – I'm not going to ask that. Would you like to be coached by Becky Hammon?
I wouldn't have a problem with it because you just – I look at this. Can she coach? Can she, when we're in distress, can we look to our leader for guidance and get us over the hump? She checks those boxes on top of the pedigree she's come from. So she's comfortable in those moments. And she's just proven that. And I understand her frustration and Don Staley's frustration when, you know, I saw the thing about Portland. I said, Portland hired Chauncey over, you know, those two ladies and everything. And I understand, you know, sometimes, you know, organizations or people don't want to be the first in these type of situations, and they didn't want to, because they didn't want the backlash. Well, and because you just don't know the outcome. I think people feel comfortable, you know, making those decisions if you knew the outcome. You knew the outcome. You they would say, you know what, Becky, Don, we'd love to have you because, you know, we could see the future, and you can't. But, you know, you have to just trust and be able to stand on your decision. And I think if any NBA team made that decision, they would have been happy with her. I mean, it's tough to win in any league, but let me tell you something. She blew through the WNBA, you know, which and it's like, oh, okay, that's the WNBA. It's not the NBA. It doesn't matter. Her coaching mind is top notch, man. It's top notch, and you can just see it. Like, she empowered, and when she talked, they listened. Even through frustration. Sometimes, you know, when you see, you know, first year coaches and they're trying to get their teams rallied together and calm everybody down, and you always see one loose end. You didn't see that. You didn't see that. She got them to understand the bigger picture, you know, and it was just awesome to see her mentor, Greg Popovich, there supporting her and just like dropping gems to the ladies after their, what game was that? Game three, game four? What was that? It was early when he came into the locker room.
It was game three.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, just like just to have that.
My bad. It was game two in Vegas.
Yeah.
Game two.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. So it's just cool to have that. And, you know, she's proven it. And I tell you what, I know she's going to probably want to go, you know, get that opportunity again at some point, but it's going to be hard to get her out of out of Vegas and the WNBA because they're going to drop the bank to her.
They already are. She got paid something around like $1 million a year, which was like huge headlines, which only put more pressure and, you know, eyeballs on her. And again, Becky Hammon delivers like every stage, you know, and also like showed she could do it at scale over the course of a entire season. And, you know, that entire core, that core group, they're all under 30 years old. So like people are having all these, you know, think pieces about, you know, okay, is she ready for the NBA now? I'm like, fam, she could run this right back next year and the year after that. Like, I think there's a dynasty here. You know, I think for the NBA to get Becky Hammon, they better come with the bricks truck because she's got something really special here. And then because- you talk
Star players are gonna fall at her feet. Like, they're gonna like, bro, I want to go play the. I want to go to Vegas and follow play with her.
I want to go to Vegas. First of all, yeah. Vegas is so fun. Just check their social media. Like, I've actually talked with other players around the WNBA who like are joking but also dead serious when they're like, "Damn, the Aces are having a lot of fun." they like the meme of what's his name looking out Squidward looking at SpongeBob from outside the window and looking at SpongeBob play. That's what they look like looking at the right. Aces. They're just having a blast. And you know, Becky to win the WNBA is a big deal. Like, she came in and learned a new league. It's a scouting success, it's a staff success. The last 8 years, Becky's been in the NBA. Not the WNBA. She played in the WNBA, but the last 8 years, she's been scouting NBA. So this was a huge, like, to learn a new league is a big deal. And, you know, obviously she's got the X's and O's and all of the after time out plays and execution she had. And her players, you know, talk about her as being composed and calm and they trust her.
That's what I'm saying. It's cheating. Like, she came from a guru. Like,
she also pushed the right buttons. As a former player, she really understood, like, okay, I'm a yell at, like, she's a chill person, but in game one of the finals at halftime, she went nut. Like, she literally said, "I was lit." That was outside herself. And that ignited the team to win a very important, obviously a very important game one. And like, I cover like NBA and WNBA. The one thing that's consistent, I've talked to male players that have worked with her and female players that have worked with her. They all respect her. They all respect her. She gives it back. They like working with her. Like, she's a real one. And she came through and absolutely implemented like NBA tactics and strategies in the W, and it worked.
That's what I said. Cheat code, man.
Little like zone defense that, you know, the Raptors had thrown in there before, she was using that on the W. It really, really showed that she is a basketball mind and person. So I don't think, you know, Becky said it best herself. She said, I wasn't out there trying to prove people wrong. I'm trying to prove myself right. And so that is a bar. She did both.
That is a big bar, and she
did bar. Both. That's a bar, too. I like that bar as well. She did both. So I think we'll leave it at that with dropping mics. Yeah, this was fun. I enjoyed it. I'll let you know, WNBA most watched year since 2006. Regular season and playoff viewership up 22% on ESPN and NBA. So you put it on, people will watch because it is quality and it's only going up. So I'm very excited. That's it for the VC show. What else you got for these people?
We out. Two fingers.
Hey, let it. And if it's
which one do you
time,
pick?
If it's your time.
Let it go. I think you better let it go.
It's okay to go bald, baby. It's your time. Come on, we'll get you a good hat. We'll get you a good hat.
We out.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, "Well, I had this career before, but it was a waste." And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, "Oh, what's your best way of making money?" I'm like, "Oh, we should start some sort of scheme."
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.